defense needs today.
The floodgates are open for business here on America Tonight. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney hanging out with you coast to coast and everywhere in between. Boy, do we have a lot to dive into, including Miss California now in ads opposing gay marriage. Carrie Trajan is become a spokesperson for the National Organization for Marriage, and the California pageant people not too thrilled about it. In the meantime, another bombshell drops. Justice David Souter to retire from the Supreme Court after 19 and a half years. Yep. Bush 1 appointed him, hoping, of course, it would be a conservative slant on the court. But ironically, most of his decisions went the liberal side. So now Obama gets to appoint someone to a lifetime position. Any guesses as to which way this judge will swing? Could it be a woman? Could it be a Hispanic? Could it be an Asian? I have a short list. I did some quick checking with a couple of quick sources, and I'll tell you some of the big names that are on the list. And, of course, the giant story affecting some of us and others just teetering on the edge of, is this going to go away or is this going to get bigger, baby? We're talking about the swine flu. Right now, the alert from the World Health Organization, as we told you in our last show, still stands at 5. 6 means it's officially a pandemic, and it's not that at this point, but about 300 schools across the U.S. shutting down, some of them indefinitely. That's 172,000 kids affected directly by the swine flu outbreak in New York and in California and in Texas and in a couple of other places, too, that will tell you about. Still not at that number 6. Also coming up on the show, we'll have the blunder of the week, the dungeon, movies, news you can abuse, and a few other surprises along the way too. But let's dive into the swine flu. This is kind of how the week started out. Meet the Press, talking head Robert Gibbs, the White House flack. Here's what he said about the swine flu then.
The president is being briefed regularly by Homeland Security officials, DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, Health and Human Services, the CDC, our Homeland Security Council, and the White House are keeping the president up to date on this. We're following it very closely. We're increasing the monitoring and the preparedness that we would need to have in place in order to deal with any sort of emergency. But it is of concern to this White House. One of the issues that then Senator Obama worked on was the possibility of what happened in this country if we saw an avian flu pandemic. That resulted in lots of vaccinations being bought, lots of antiviral drugs being purchased and distributed throughout the country in case they were needed. We'll do a briefing a little bit later on at the White House to discuss some of the preparations that have been undertaken in order to deal with something like this. I think it's important for the public to understand that we are taking the proper precautions to address anything that happens. It's not a time to panic. Then I think that's important to understand. It's also important to understand that the president is being kept aware every few hours of the developments that are going on.
All right. Since then, of course, there have been tons of updates in between. We had Dr. Maurice Ramirez on the show, and he, of course, has advised cabinet members and other people nationally about pandemics. And he talked about where we were headed with this and what to look for. And pretty much what he told us was the same thing that we've heard across the board. It's that personal hygiene thing about covering your mouth, washing your hands, all that sort of stuff that might help. But there is no way to shut it down if you've been affected by somebody who has the swine flu. And affected, certainly they were in Mexico, over 150 deaths, 260 more in that gauge where it's a little bit more critical. And over of that, of the 2,500 people of reported cases that are still in Mexico, some in hospitals, scary stuff there, certainly. Mexico City is like ground zero I say this phrase over and over again, but my best description for it, because I've seen some pictures, somebody sent me a little video today, it really truly is like a scene from a movie. Looks like a ghost town, like somebody dropped a bomb in Mexico City, and like cockroaches, everyone's scattered, because that's what happens, scattered away from the center of the city, because the plaza is where all the entertainment is, and Mexico City is a very vibrant place. Take it from somebody who's been there probably about five or six times. And this is a big time of year for Mexico because Cinco de Mayo is on the 5th. There is no Cinco de Mayo, my friends. Swine flu killed that as well. Throughout the week, we saw lots of Janet Napolitano, of course, the Homeland Security Director. And in the beginning, I had questions as to, boy, are we handling this right? And what happens is this becomes a pandemic. We don't have enough people in positions of power as far as the health-related services are concerned. So she really jumped in there. And, of course, the border set off, the conversation about the border set off a lot of controversy as to whether or not the borders should be closed. And that goes to the whole sealing it off and Mexicans and Central Americans and South Americans coming across the border. So that went into a different direction. Here's what she had to say, the latest thing about sealing the borders.
Look, if the public health officials tell us there would be some utility in closing a particular port, obviously we'll take that action. But to date, there's been no such advice. And indeed, I think the president had it right last night. The horse is out of this barn. We already have multiple cases in multiple states in the United States, indeed multiple countries around the world. So let's deal with what we have. Here, the common sense rule is the rule we're abiding by, which is government's doing everything it can. We're asking the private sector to dust off their business continuity plans and be prepared. And we're asking individuals to do everything they can. You know, wash your hands. If you feel sick, don't go to work, school. Get right on transit where you could contaminate others.
Yeah, but here's the question. See, everybody wants to know. They start to cough. They start to feel nauseous. They start to feel achy. And there's all kinds of strains of the flu. In fact, thousands of people have died from flu strains this year, which had nothing to do with this particular strain. So in the U.S., it still is considered mild. Still is considered mild. The best thing is, and I think this is the best advice that I've heard from any of the doctors that we had on the show or others that talked on other shows nationally, the best advice is, look, the bottom line is, if you feel sick, if you're coughing, you're hacking up your lungs, it's something is definitely off, you're nauseous, all that other sort of stuff, it might not be the swine flu at all. But why even go to work if you think there is a wild chance that you might have this? It makes absolutely no sense, but still people do that, and then more people get infected, and that's how things have started to, you know, started to spread. And right now, by the way, of course, there's plenty of Tamiflu that's available if somebody gets the swine flu. Because the schools are shutting down, because with the kids, it's spread so rapidly, some of them, of course, going to trips that we talked about to Cancun, specifically two different groups, and that's where a lot of this has spread. So it's still that same question that's hung over the show since really Sunday. Are you panicked, concerned, not even thinking about it? And I think for this audience, the phone calls that we've had throughout the week, I think most of you aren't overly concerned about the swine flu. In fact, some of you are wondering, where did this all come from? How did this happen? And of course, it happened a lot from tourism, people going to Mexico and then bringing it back into the United States. And it's too late now. It's absolutely here. Will we hit six? Geez, I don't know. We'll see how we ride out the weekend. Coming up next, we're going to talk about a house that was haunted and scared this man to his very core. He speaks about it next on America Tonight.
As the economy continues to plummet, many of us will have to make difficult choices and cut back on our expenses. One thing we cannot afford to cut back on, though, is our health. If you suffer from chronic illness, stress, weak immune health, or just feel tired, you need to visit Shentrition.com. Shentrition is an innovative supplement that stimulates the healing power of the body. Shentrition is made up of two parts. The first part is superfoods, alkalizing greens, and hemp protein. The second half contains a powerful herbal formula to heal and detoxify the body. The philosophy at Shentrition is to feed the body what it needs and heal the body with food in one product. Shentrition is all natural, wheat-free, dairy-free, and 100% vegetarian. Discover the ancient secrets to healing, wellness, and longevity at Shentrition.com. That's Shentrition, Shentrition.com, or call 1-866-497-7436. That's 1-866-497-7436 today.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel with Midas Resources. As you know, government spending is at an all-time high and inflation is on the rise. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? As the economy continues to deteriorate due to corporate greed and government intervention, more people will lose their jobs and worse, their life savings. Having your hard-earned money in banks, the stock market, or any other paper asset is a lose-lose deal. You'll lose on your capital investment and you'll lose purchasing power as the dollar continues to devalue. One thing is certain, having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens, your investment will never be worthless. If you've been thinking about investing in the physical possession of precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel, at 800-686-2237, extension 108, and I will take the time personally to put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call Peter, 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108.
Did you know many vitamin and mineral supplements on the market are made from rocks and ground-up shells? Think about that. Would you swallow a handful of shells you found at the beach? Our body wasn't designed to digest rocks and shells. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman, formulator of Choose for Health, a delicious-tasting, chewable dietary supplement derived from 16 fruits, vegetables, and antioxidants. Unlike hard-to-digest pills, Choose for Health is a convenient chewable which allows for better digestion. The choice is yours. Swallow rocks and shells to supplement your diet or a natural chewable product you can better digest. Choose for Health, the world's first superfruit, sea vegetable, antioxidant chewable. Whole food nutrition, not rocks and shells. 1-800-210-1922. Call now and receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
Of course, more on the swine flu, some specific areas where new cases have been reported. Also, our blunder of the week that I mentioned at the top. Ooh, it's a good one. By the way, if you ever want to chime in and pick out who you think should get the blunder of the week, you can shoot us an email at americatonight.net. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, as always, at the helm of ATN, here with you on this wild roller coaster ride. You know, it's always fascinated me, the paranormal, and some of the people that I've spoken to in the past about things that they've seen, and some of this, the incredible stories that are out there. And this is an interesting story, and I can't even imagine this if you're a kid. You remember the whole Amityville horror movies, and I can remember I was a kid and going to see those and thinking, wow, geez, imagine being in this house. I can't even fathom existing in a place like that. Well, our next guest did just that, and the name of the book is called Dark Force. His name is Bill Bean. Bill, thanks for joining us here on America Tonight.
Hi, Kate. Thanks. It's an honor and a pleasure to be on with you.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, I'm really serious about that. It's always fascinated me in movies, and I have talked to some other people who have had some just crazy, wild experiences. When you first put your book together, and then your story started to get out there, and it was on the Discovery Channel a lot, they played it, by the way, what were people... Did you have a hard time convincing people, or did they say, wow, I just cannot believe you went through this? What was the reaction initially?
Yeah, it's the wow factor, and it's been that way ever since. It's just unbelievable, unbelievably overwhelming, the amount of positive response and well wishes I've received from so many people from not just around the country, but even different parts of the world. It's just incredible. And I really thank God and praise God for it. I mean, I just can't stress to you enough the gravity of this story. I wish it was some sort of made-up fairy tale, Hollywood-type thing or whatever, but unfortunately it's not. And it really happened, and I've had a plethora of experiences since. And again, I just thank and praise God for delivering me from it.
Well, let's talk about what happened with your family, the house itself, and what was were the first signs that something was not right?
Well, the house is located in Glen Burnie, Maryland, and we moved there in 1970, and it was a three-bedroom ranch-style house, and it was actually semi-dilapidated. My father was a master carpenter, and he saw it as a project that he could restore this house. I strongly feel that they were drawn there. My parents were drawn to this house. And my mother was the first to have an experience in the house, and it was a couple days after we had gotten in there, and it was while she was unpacking boxes in the living room. My father had taken us, I have an older sister and a younger brother, and my father had taken us to his parents' house for the day to let my mother organize and let her have some peace. And it was while she was doing this that she felt a presence, and in her mind, she really felt like it was my father who had snuck back into the house, and she thought he was going to play a joke on her and try and scare her. And she spun around, fully anticipating to see him and hoping to startle him first, and nothing was there. So she was taken aback by it. She was able to go back to what she was doing, but it wasn't long after that that one of the doors slammed shut, one of the bedroom doors, and that was enough to make her go outside.
And what was, you know, what was your father's reaction to all of this? Because that was the first thing that happened. But when other things started to happen, what, how did he respond to this?
Well, his outward reaction was he didn't want to accept or acknowledge it at all. However, he had confided in my mother's mother that he was seeing apparitions in the house, and he knew something very real was going on. He just didn't know how to deal with it, and he was a very good man, a very hard worker, a very good family man, and a very stern and tough type of individual as well. And he certainly would never do anything to put us in fear or to alarm us. So he was very much a protective type of father.
Yeah, and again, the book is called Dark Force, and in it, it's like I said, I remember this clearly on the Discovery Channel. They did a whole series about stuff like this, and the episode that your family was involved in was the House of the Dead, and it has been played a ton of times. How did you exist among each other with these noises, and apparently it eventually escalated into physical attacks? I mean, how did you survive that?
Looking back on it, I'll tell you, Kate, it was so hard to write that book. I had to put myself back in those situations again, and while it was happening, the best way I could equate it would be to tell you it was like being prisoners in a POW camp. We just really had lost all feeling and emotion, even for each other. My family started, I guess, a gradual turn for the worse, not long after moving in. It was a gradual type thing. My sister ended up leaving. She ran away in the middle of the night, and she married a young man in the neighborhood. And she stated in the A Haunting segment that she would have married anyone just to get out of the house. And it seemed like things deteriorated from there, and the focus was on my father then. And he went from being a great family man and a hard worker to a raging alcoholic that I just absolutely loathed. I couldn't even look at him. And he began to physically abuse my mother from a period of 1973 to 1975, and nearly killed her on several occasions. And had he stayed, there's no question that he would have killed her. And based on what I witnessed in the house while he was in these drunken stupors, there's no question in my mind that these demonic forces were able to actually manipulate him while he was under the influence of alcohol, and they were actually driving him to kill my mother.
Wow, and you think that's what, to you it was demonic forces. Did you have somebody come in? Were there different people, experts, that came into the house? Because I would imagine that a lot of people would want to try to analyze what was going on when it was going on, right?
When my father left us in 1975, during this period, my mother was also very ill. And not only was she suffering physical abuse from him, she was suffering from high blood pressure, which led to a series of strokes, which ultimately led to kidney failure. And she was very, very ill. She was a very proud and private woman, and she was very embarrassed and ashamed by what was happening, because when he left us in 75, she started getting attacked on a regular basis by the entities. And that continued up until the day she died, which was several months after we moved out of the house. But to answer your question, yes, we had a priest involved for the last 16 months that we lived there. And it had gotten to the point to where the priest was actually bringing mason jars full of holy water to the house.
Wow. And how did you... Okay, so now you sound healthy. You sound like you've been able to overcome this, and that's part of what the book is about. What was it that led you to clear up all this that you would have to deal with, the things that happened to your mother, the things that happened to you as a kid, your father, all that stuff? What brought you back into the light, I'll say?
God. There's no question about it. God is everything to me, and God delivered me from this, and I can never thank God and praise God enough. That's the best way I can describe it. That's the only thing that I can say. Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I'll tell you, I'll go to the four corners of the earth if God will have me to do it, and sing His praises and give my testimony of what God did for me. And you're right, this book is truly God-inspired. Because as disturbing as my story is, the ultimate message in the book is a message of hope and faith. And my message is, if God did this for me, if God truly delivered me from this, like I say, and which I know to be true, if He did that for me, then He can and will do that for anyone who will call on Him.
Yeah, wow, well said. And a really good book, an easy read. I say easy read because you're just captivated by this story. Dark Force, Bill Bean. Bill, we wish you the best, and thanks for joining us on ATN.
Thank you so much, Kate. Take care and God bless.
All right, you too. And it really is, in his book, you know, I don't even really do it justice, but in his book there's all kinds of chapters about pets and things that happen and specific things. And you know, you heard me ask him there. Of course, people are going to think you're crazy. You tell them that something's going on in the house, the door slammed by itself. How could that be? Whatever, you're imagining it and whatnot. But there were so many specific things that that happened, and he listed out chapter by chapter what it was like. And remember, he was a kid when all this was happening, and it really tore his family apart. Hang with us, a lot more to come here on The Big Show.
If you've always wanted to experience the amazing benefits from using oil of oregano, the time to act is now. With so many places to choose from, where can you be 100% certain you're getting the highest quality oil for your dollar? The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com brings you ultra-pure, non-diluted oil of oregano with 80% or better carvacrol. PureBulk.com also carries over 120 nutritional products, including atomic iodine, amino acids, herbal extracts, and heart health, all made with no fillers, additives, or fancy packaging, saving you 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. With each order, PureBulk.com will send you one dram of atomic iodine, a 150-day supply, absolutely free. Just enter promotional code IODINE at website checkout. Visit PureBulk.com, that's PureBulk.com, or call 406-251-3270, 406-251-3270 today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
Did you catch the ABC 2020 show and how record unemployment has increased the work-at-home scams? Titillating ads lure people in claiming they can make hundreds a day. You'll never hear that from our friends at IncomeAtHome45.com, and it's their integrity that's made them a work-from-home leader. IncomeAtHome45.com is accredited by the Better Business Bureau and has an A-plus rating. That's your peace of mind. They're connected to a multi-billion dollar company doing business in 70 countries for nearly 30 years. If your dream is to work from home, to stay home and raise your family, to insulate yourself from this economy, to stop living paycheck to paycheck, go to IncomeAtHome45.com right now. People are earning life-changing money from home. And IncomeAtHome45.com is adding people in record numbers. Don't miss this chance. Visit them now. They're giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. $1,000. Visit IncomeAtHome45.com. That's IncomeAtHome45.com.
Springtime. Now that you've planted your organic garden, how will you keep the bugs away without using toxic chemicals and poisons? Well, the answer is all natural insecticides from FreshwaterOrganics.com. These revolutionary insecticides start with the same organic product that we use, an FPP to kill parasites. We then add a small amount of pyrethrin from chrysanthemum flowers and a mild attractant to offer you the most effective insecticide available anywhere. It can even be applied up to the day of harvest. Our natural insecticides work in the home, on plants, and in your garden, killing pests mechanically, not with poisons. So pests can't develop an immunity, and they won't harm your children or pets. It's effective against white flies, moths, bed bugs, fleas, roaches, crickets, and more, and safe enough to use on your pets, ridding them of fleas and other pests. Order now from FreshwaterOrganics.com or call 888-949-3570, 888-949-3570 today.
On America Tonight. That means we've got movies, whatever movies are coming out. We'll preview them for you. There's a couple big ones pretty soon. Angels and Demons, speaking of Billy Bean and his experience with the paranormal, The Dark Force, that's the name of his book, Dark Force. And I'm kind of anxious to see that, the Dan Brown continuation, because I read both of those books, 1, 2, 3, and Angels and Demons actually was the first book. Not the, you know, it wasn't the other way around, the Da Vinci Code, and they were like summer reads for me that I knocked out. There was a bit of time between each one of them, and I think this, there's some controversy, a lot of Catholics upset over the second book, just like they were on the first one being made into a movie, but for interesting reasons. We'll get into that though when we get closer to the movie. That's not this week, that comes out next week. Also, more on Justice David Souter, who's going to take the place of Justice Souter, who decided 19 and a half years, he's 69 years old, that it's time to retire. And he certainly wasn't the oldest guy on the Supreme Court. Could be perhaps a woman, or could be maybe Hispanic because of the population that's been suggested certainly before. All right, speaking of judges, Judge Hyman joins us now on the show, and we're going to talk a little bit about something that we've talked about a ton, unfortunately, here on America Tonight, domestic violence and juvenile delinquency. And the interesting question that I've never been able to knock down, so he's the perfect guest for us, do the domestic violence courts, and we've had other people on to talk about similar things, really crack a whip on this, really make a difference? Hey, Judge, thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for inviting me.
Hey, that's it in a nutshell. Does it make a difference? Does it really make a difference whatsoever in cracking down on this?
Well, it depends upon what you're defining or what you're talking about with respect to making a difference. Are we talking about making a difference to the defendant in terms of changing his
yes.
behavior in the future,
yeah.
or are we talking about assisting the victim and the victim's children?
We're talking about the defendant.
Okay. If you're strictly limiting it to that, I think the jury is still out on that one, to use a pun. I think that we have not figured out yet how to intervene in a way that will change long-term behavior. I think we do a good job with respect to changing short-term behavior while a person is still on probation to the court and while we're still reviewing the person coming back and things of that nature. But in terms of long-term, like we figured out substance abuse, we still aren't there yet, unfortunately.
Yeah, sadly, Judge, honestly, I wish that we could say that we're clearing up some of this domestic violence, but I have a brother-in-law who's a cop, and he tells me terrible stories. In fact, I have a great uncle who was stabbed 30 times when he responded to a domestic abuse call, and it had to do with kids and the mother and the father, and it was just obviously an awful thing that happened, and luckily he recovered from that. But what do you think happens when the economy goes the way it's going now? Do you think you see an upswing in more family violence, and do the crimes escalate and get a little more heinous?
Well, certainly there's a correlation, not the cause of domestic violence, but certainly there's a correlation between being unemployed and an increase in domestic violence, just as there's also an increase with respect to substance abuse and domestic violence over 65% of all defendants are under the influence of either alcohol or some other type of drug at the time of the offense, and over 50% of victims are under the influence of something at the time of the offense. So, sure, there's a correlation because drinking and substance abuse also goes up during periods of unemployment. But I'm not so sure why we're so surprised with respect to violence in general. When you consider, with respect to rehabilitation, mm-hmm. A person who is very violent in terms of gang behavior or in terms of robbing banks and things of that nature, that person's very difficult to rehabilitate also. Violence is a learned behavior, and it's very difficult to program that person differently. And violence is violence, unfortunately. What makes domestic violence more difficult than other kinds of violence is because you have the family aspect of it and because you have a person who doesn't want to leave. But other than that, when it's down to common denominators, it's still violence.
Yeah. And we should say, too, we're very pleased to have you on the show. Thanks for the time, because Judge Hyman, everybody, established and sat on, presided over the first juvenile domestic violence and family violence court in the United States, and that was back in 1999. And currently, he is a judge of the Superior Court of California, the County of Santa Clara, oh, beautiful area, where for the past 18 years, he's presided over cases in the criminal, civil, probate, family, and delinquency division, so he knows certainly of what he speaks. You established this in 1999. How big of a change, or what kind of changes have you seen at all in the system? And, of course, this is what we're talking about, since 1999, because that's, 10 years?
Right. The good news is that the teen domestic violence is being taken a lot more seriously now than it was when we first began the court. There's a lot more awareness that this is in fact a problem that is going on everywhere in the world, not just with respect to California or the United States. So it's a little bit easier to get people to talk about this problem now. There's actually conferences on teen domestic violence as a subset of domestic violence, just as there's conferences now on teen substance abuse. So in that sense, our knowledge is a lot better. There's a lot more studies that are being done, and it's being accepted a little bit more. Having said that, we haven't come a long way in certain other respects, in the sense that there's probably no more than 3 juvenile domestic violence courts in the United States. So from that standpoint, that is from a specialized juvenile court, it hasn't caught on.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, obviously you care about this and you're passionate about it and you like to see things change, and you're presiding over these cases and trying to make a difference, and we're glad obviously that you're doing that, any dent that you can make. But it really depends on the other judges, doesn't it? Other people that preside over specific cases as to how things end up going down, because there are certain things that will influence, I would assume, the judges, the other judges that would get cases like this.
Well, absolutely. And this is an assignment that most judges try to avoid. It's not something that's fun, that's positive. I mean, it's outright depressing on many occasions where you see horrific stuff that borders on abuse and neglect in terms of what goes on. So, unfortunately, in many specialty assignments, the judge is the most important person in the courtroom. That person sets the tone, sets the meetings, the agenda, and things of that nature. And if you have a person who is assigned to some kind of specialty assignment, not just domestic juvenile violence, but also adult domestic violence, substance abuse, mental health, all kinds of specialty courts, if that person doesn't want to be there, you're better off not having a specialized court, because it just isn't going to work. And there actually might be worse things that happen than if there were not a court established at all.
Do you think any of this, I mean, I'm not asking you to be a psychologist, but I'm just thinking out loud with conversations and stories and things that I've covered before. Is some of this due to, when we talk about neglect or kids and the way they're raised, is some of this due to the fact that kids often feel neglected, or they're in a single parent home, or they're abused as really, really young children? What do you think, you know, what steers teens in these directions?
Well, if we're talking about substance abuse, then all of those things that you just mentioned are reasons for self-medication, which cause or lead a person to juvenile substance abuse. If you're talking about domestic violence, for the most part, it's a learned behavior, and for the most part, they are mimicking, in fact, what they observe. So they're seeing their fathers physically beat their mothers or other relatives. So it's something that they're seeing, something that they're perceiving is being okay, and something that, depending upon the family structure, something that's not discouraged. Our studies indicate from our own court that a very high percentage of juveniles that are involved in teen dating violence come from homes where teen dating violence occurred, which is probably no surprise.
Yeah, so the courts, I mean, maybe the answer to the question is the courts can't necessarily fix violent homes. I mean, there's other things that have to be done. What can be done outside the courthouse to really try to change this more?
Well, I think that the good news is I think that people are trying. I think that schools are trying, and schools are in an awkward situation, because depending upon where a school is located and depending upon how parents feel, some parents feel that it's inappropriate for the school to get involved in family kinds of issues. Some parents, you know, don't want their children exposed to substance abuse discussions or with respect to sex education and things of that nature. And some schools are now trying to teach, you know, what does a healthy family look like? What does a healthy relationship look like? Because if you come from a family that's, you know, the joke is everyone comes from a family that's at least a little bit dysfunctional. You know, I don't know what dysfunctional is unless it's the horrific side of the equation. But, you know, parents, if they are talking about sex education or substance abuse education at all, probably are not talking about what marriage is like. Certainly my family didn't. You know, I have no idea what this concept of love is, ups and downs and things like that. I mean, you have this perception of your parents as being the cleavers, and, you know, that's not day-to-day reality.
That's not
relationships.
Yeah, that's not relationships. Very well said. What a note to end on. Judge, keep hammering away at this, and thanks for your good works. I hope that we find there are more courts that start to develop like yours in the near future. Thanks, Judge.
Thank you.
Judge Eugene Hyman, of course, as I said, trying to help the situation with the juvenile domestic violence. More to come on the flip side here on ATN.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to pepperspray.com. That's pepperspray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
Americans, do you know where your food comes from? Is it safe, secure, and healthy? Did you know most of our food is now contaminated with genetically modified ingredients? We at Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company have been helping people get pure garden seed for 12 years and carry over 1,200 varieties of GMO-free heirloom seed. Go to www.rareseeds.com for more information. That's rareseeds.com. Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company was started in 1998 by a 17-year-old as a hobby. It was developed out of a passion for preserving our vegetable heritage. The company now offers the largest selection of pure heirloom seeds, strive every year to bring back varieties like our forefathers grew. In times like these, we can't trust the government to keep our seeds safe. Every year at Baker Creek, we work to preserve the best of the oldest for future gardeners. We also offer affordable seed collections for long-term storage. Go to www.rareseeds.com and get your seeds from America's pure seed source. That's rareseeds.com.
What the word pandemic even means, the rest protecting themselves against the swine flu, if you could do such a thing. It's the common sense deal of washing the hands and all that, at least to try to prevent it. If you get it, you get it, because already it's here across the border in the United States, certainly, and across other borders as well, including in Canada. Joining us now on the show is Slam and Sammy over in Montreal. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. A lot of conversation yet about the swine flu or no?
Yeah, you're not going to believe this. I saw this on the news tonight. Boy, him and his family went to Mexico for spring break.
Mm.
He goes to school. He doesn't have any of the symptoms. Nada. Nothing. The teacher said, you're having a 10-day vacation. Go home. So then his parents, well, I wouldn't say they didn't exactly have a deep fit. They just went to the principal and says, what is this? He doesn't have any of the symptoms, nothing. He said, well, he might. So school board policy says until this is under control, he's home for 10 days. So then they said, would it help if we got a letter from our pediatrician? No. So I think that, okay, granted, I mean, it should be controlled, but I think in some areas, there's overkill, you know?
Yeah, I think there's overkill, too. And then that's with people just panicked, and there's not even any confirmed cases in the neighborhood. I understand, I said this before, if it's close to you, or especially if you have kids and they're closing the school, that's going to freak you out if the school's closed down and the kid down the street got it.
You know, like that school in Queens.
Yeah, absolutely. St. Francis, I mean, so many kids came down with it, kids that didn't even go on the trip. So I get that. But I think when you're in an area where there's no even cases, you're in a bubble.
Yeah, what about, I know Texas has a big Hispanic community. Any reported cases in your neck of the woods?
Oh, there's tons. There's confirmed cases of less than a mile from my house. So there have been, but they scrubbed a school that I jog by every day, and
And I'm just thinking, there's a certain hockey coach right now who's over in Switzerland, Dave Tippett, I hate the analogy of the swine flu versus him. He's thinking that maybe he's not going to come back to Dallas just after the World Hockey Championships. He may wait. And in some countries they're destroying all the pigs.
Pigs, yeah.
I mean, here in Canada, the pork marketing board was hoping to get a good price for their pork this year, but I don't think so. In fact, some pig farmers are either going to have a loss, or some of them might even declare bankruptcy.
Well, you know, it's funny you brought that up, Sam. I'm glad you did, because the World Health Organization was so freaked out by that they're not calling it swine flu anymore. They're calling it the scientific name. It's H1N1 influenza A. Like, we're going to say that.
Right. Israel, they called it the Mexican flu.
Oh, yeah. And that really torqued a lot of people off, because then it set off that debate of, is that racist and all that stuff about.
Well, you figured you also have to please the Muslims too, because if you know anything about Islam, they're also not allowed to eat pork as well.
That's right, absolutely.
So
yeah,
I'm glad I got Julie as a girlfriend. She's teaching me how to speak English. I know. I hate to bring that up. I think it's a politically correct thing to say, especially in a country like that. And no, Steve doesn't know anybody, but until further notice, everybody in the school he's teaching is washing their hands.
They're washing their hands, exactly. That's what you have to do. Maybe this will get more people, especially you men out there listening, because the studies show that men do it less, that you better start washing those hands.
I wash my hands. She is a bit of a clean freak, so yes, I do wash my hands no matter what.
Yeah, all you have to do is like carry the. You can even have like wipes or some of that lotion. You can take that lotion with you. For goodness sake, it's not that hard. Sam, thanks for the call. You have a fabulous weekend.
You too, gorgeous.
All right, it's funny that Sam brought up actually some interesting things. It's weird because if you go back to 1918, the flu that broke out was called the Spanish flu, and traditionally, flu virus strains are named by the places where they're first identified. But, of course, we live in the PC world, and people don't like the idea of saying Mexican flu, which is what Sam said they were calling it in Israel. And then there's all this talk of discrimination against Mexico and Mexicans, and so then instead of calling it the Mexican flu, they called it the swine flu, and, of course, that's affected the pork industry, and I'm sorry, nobody is going to be walking around calling it the H1N1 influenza A. It's not going to happen. And they're putting pressure for people, you know, like the U.S. government, in fact, is putting pressure on the World Health Organization and others to call it that, but nobody's bending there. They're still saying, you know, there's still a lot of people are still referring to it as the swine flu, and I don't think you're going to change it. I mean, it's an interesting thing to look right around you in your own neighborhood or look across the United States, and of course this is a national show, and talk to different people as to what, if anything, people in your neck of the woods are doing differently, or is there anything you've noticed lately that you've seen from other people that you didn't see before, even just you yourself, are you doing something differently to guard against getting the swine flu? Is there anything that you're doing differently? Hopefully washing your hands more, because there's all kinds of nasty things that can happen anyway when you don't wash your hands. Matt Johnson, do you wash your hands a couple of times a day at least?
How many times a day?
How many? That's a good question. How many times a day do you wash your hands?
I don't know.
Every time that's
I go
not
the,
good.
Every time I go to the bathroom, before I eat, I don't know, whenever I feel like they're dirty, I guess.
Okay, so you do that. So, like, if you're out and running around and then you run into a fast food restaurant, you'll wash your hands before you chow down.
Most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's those times where you're just too hungry and you forget.
That's right. I'm starving. I got to chow down. I'm not washing my hands.
I'm starving.
And that's what I think happens. I think more disease. Well, I don't think. You know, because this is what doctors say. More diseases and things are spread that way. But, you know, the statistics in that poll a couple of years ago, I don't think they were lying. That's probably one of the main causes. So wash your hands more.
Well, one of the things, too, I can tell you, being a younger person, the guys at the bar never wash their hands.
No.
Never,
no, they don't.
Ever,
the bartenders.
Ever.
You mean the bartenders?
No. Well, I don't know about the bartenders. When I bartended, I did. But I'm just talking about people that are at the bar when there's a huge long line in the men's room. It's just like an assembly line, and nobody goes to the washing their hands.
And you know what, too, the bad part about this is, I'm sure, fascinating to everybody listening across America, but it's a good tip for you, and I'm totally, totally, totally serious about this. What Matt just said happens all over the place, whether it's a family bar, a bar, a pickup joint, whatever it is, and if they have bowls of peanuts out, and you have guys coming through that assembly line, then they think about it. They go to the bar, and they grab a handful of peanuts when they're drinking their beer or drink or whatever, and so many people dip into that it is so incredibly unsanitary. And you think, who cares? People didn't die in the 1700s and 1800s, and they were eating things off the floor and whatever, but it was different then, and it is a different time. More people, more pollutants, more things to deal with. So an easy thing that you can do, don't dip your hands in the peanuts, guys. I'm serious, because that is one of the most the worst places to eat, is that food that's not covered, unless it's something you ordered from the bar. I mean, of course, anyway. I mean, there's a million unsanitary things we could certainly talk about, but when you're talking about swine flu, you might want to avoid doing that and wash your hands a little bit more. Of course, we'll continue to have more on the swine flu, I'm sure, this next upcoming week, because we know it's not going to be completely annihilated. You can send me an email day or night. Shoot it to americatonight.net.